Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John, and welcome to Good News. I'm Deacon Al. I'm an ordained deacon here in the Peoria Diocese. And Good News is a program that airs Saturday and Sunday evenings at 8 o'clock here on Catholic Spirit Radio. And although hopefully what we're saying will have meaning for all of our listeners, we're especially interested in reaching out to teenagers. If you're a teenager and you have a question about your faith or about faith in general, be it Catholicism or another Christian faith that you would like answered, I would be happy to try to address that for you. If I don't know the answer, I'll make one up, but I'll find the right answer for you. But I would love to hear from you. You can email me at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org. goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org. Any question you have about your faith, and I would be happy to address that on the air. Also, I want to wish happy birthday to Catholic Spirit Radio. They've been serving our area for 10 years now with wonderful programming, much of it being broadcast from EWTN. Just some great, great shows. I don't know which ones you like best. There are news programs. There's various talk shows. I personally like the apologetics. There are some wonderful apologists from EWTN who do a great job of explaining our faith and defending the Catholic faith with reason and with evidence. And I think that's so important to be able to do. And hopefully that's one of the things we do on Good News for our teenagers is we explain your faith to you in a way that you can defend it against those who would attack it. And there are those who would attack it or who would try to dissuade you away from your faith. And that's especially easy to do the younger you are because the Catholic faith is, boy, it's a big house. It's just so lush with information and with beauty that you can't possibly learn it all by the time you're a teenager. It takes a lot of living and a lot of life study to really understand and appreciate the full beauty of the Catholic faith. And so the younger you are, the easier it is to be misled. So I think it's important that you understand key aspects of your Catholic faith so that when somebody says, did you know the Catholic faith says this, you can say, no, that's not what it teaches. And you can talk about the real truth of the faith. And who knows, maybe through your witness, you can bring others to the truth of the Catholic faith. But the main idea is to be able to approach it with love and with understanding, with reason, and with evidence. And so hopefully that's what we'll be able to give you here as part of Good News. So every week we read some of the readings from the upcoming Mass of the weekend. We take questions that have been sent in and we answer them. And we just talk a little bit about the Church and about the Mass so that you can understand your faith better. So let's go ahead and begin with a reading that you'll be familiar with this weekend at church. This comes from St. Paul, from one of his letters. This is from the letter to the Ephesians. And Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them, for it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." The word of the Lord. It's a really important reading. And it goes along with the first reading in the Gospel of the weekend. But as we get closer to Easter, the Gospels get longer and a little too long for me to share in the short time we have together here on this evening. But you'll hear them when you go to Mass this weekend, which I certainly pray you all do. But this reading in particular, I think, from Paul, really speaks to young people because it talks about the fact that you are light in the Lord. You are God's creation. You are a child of God. You are an adopted brother of Christ. Christ tells us to go out and be a light of the world. We live in a world of darkness. It's so sad to see what we have done with God's creation, what started out so good. And by good, the definition in the Catholic faith of good means lacking in evil, the absence of evil. So when God created the world, there was no evil in it. Evil came into it through the sin of Adam and Eve. They opened that door. And from that moment on, sin has poured in. And we see that in everyday life. We see that in the news, in police reports, in the way our politicians, not only in this country but throughout the world, behave toward each other. We see it in the horrible way that we see the elderly being treated and the homeless and the hungry throughout the world. We've taken what was once very good, and we've taken ourselves, who God declared in our creation was very, very good, and we've allowed it to be corrupted. We've allowed it to become dark. And the only way to bring light to that is through goodness, and that's Christ, through the love of Christ, through Christ's love for us. And that's what this reading is telling us, that we were meant to be children of light. We are created to chase the darkness from this world through our acts, which is why it says, take no part in fruitless works, that our works have to have meaning. Our works have to have purpose, and they have to achieve the good. So think about what you do during the day. Is it fruitless, or is it bearing fruit? Are you doing good things for others? Are you following God's commandment to love others as yourself? Or are you just kind of skimming by, doing things that bring pleasure to ourselves rather than bring goodness to others? And that's what Paul is warning in his letter. Be very careful about what you do. Your shameful acts that you do out of sight of others is really who you are. You know, there's being active in a movement called Curcio. Those of you who have been to tech, any of you teenagers who have been through tech, know that Curcio is the older version. The for us older adults, we go through the Curcio movement. And Curcio talks about taking assessment about who you are as a person. And the way they do that is through three simple questions. And I think it applies to people of any age, especially teenage on up. And that is, how do you spend your time? How do you spend your money? And where do your thoughts take you? And that's what our reading is talking about. Fruitfulness. Is the time you spend fruitful? Is the things you spend your money on fruitful? Or is it just done for personal pleasure? Is that all you're using that money for? Or are you using it to make good in the world, to bring light to those in darkness? And what enters your mind? What do you think about, especially in private? That really tells yourself who you are as a person, who you are in your faith in Christ, in your love of God. It's worth this Lent taking a moment to sit down and really think about those three questions. How do I spend my time? How do I spend my money? And where do my thoughts take me? And then go back and read this letter from Ephesians. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness, rather expose them, for it's shameful to mention the things done by them in secret. What you do in secret, God sees. There's no hiding. I know in my house growing up as a child, in my house as an adult, there's always a space in the house where if unexpected company is coming, you can stash the stuff you don't want them to see. You know, in my home, it was my bedroom closet. If I had clothes lying around, if I had toys lying around, and we suddenly had company coming, and my mother said, quick, clean up your room, That was easy to do. Pull the covers over the bed, throw everything into the closet, right? Most people, even adults, have that closet. Or maybe it's a cupboard, or maybe it's the garage, or maybe it's the basement. But it's that place where when we find out suddenly that someone's coming for a visit, we hide all the things we don't want them to see. We hide the mess in our life so it appears that our life is orderly. And, you know, that can work with company because you can keep them out of that closet. You can keep them out of that basement. But Christ is different. Christ sees everything. What you have laid out in the room and what's hidden in the dark closet, he sees it all. And when the second coming happens, when Christ returns, and he's going to judge all of us, Christian, non-Christian, Catholic, non-Catholic, it doesn't matter. We will all be judged on that final day. There will be no time to hide stuff in the closet. Everything you have, good and bad, is laid out for Christ to see. So be very careful, as Paul warns. Be careful of what you think you're doing in secret, because at some point it all comes to light and it's all visible and it's all part of our judgment. But God makes it very simple for us. Christ makes it very simple for us. Two things we have to remember: love God, love others. And if you do that, there is nothing to hide. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to push away. Everything that you do, everything that you are, is enlightened for everyone to see. If you're a good person, your friends, your families, even someone you meet for the first time can see that. There's a light that's given off by holiness. And you can be holy no matter what your age. You don't have to be a saint in heaven to be holy. Holiness simply means set apart for the good of God, for the worship of God, for God's use. So no matter what age you are, you can be holy. And that's what the church is there to help you with, to find that holiness, to teach you how to set yourself apart from the darkness of the world, to be a light, to be seen as brother to Christ, as a child of God. So think about those three things. How do I spend my time? How do I spend my money? Where do my thoughts take me? Right now, my thoughts are going to take me to a break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Stay tuned. Good news will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
And welcome back to Good News. I'm Deacon Al. We're here every Saturday and Sunday on Catholic Spirit Radio at 8 o'clock to bring you good news about your Catholic faith. If you have questions about Catholicism, about Christianity, about how to follow your faith better, or why you're having difficulty in following your faith, anything at all you'd like to talk about, you can email me at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com or .org. Either one works. And I would be happy to answer your questions on the air. A couple things I want to talk about before we get into some questions that were sent in. Happy 10th anniversary, Catholic Spirit Radio. 10 years of serving our community with Catholic programs from EWTN and also locally produced programs such as Good News. It's such a pleasure to have this Catholic voice available to us. Not every community has this sort of a luxury, this blessing in their media, and we are so happy to have them here. If you'd like to send a birthday card to Catholic Spirit Radio, we would love to hear from you. Along with your birthday wishes, we'd like to know what you listen to on Catholic Spirit Radio. What shows do you like the best? What features on our website do you enjoy the most or make the greatest use of? We would love to know that. You can write us at Catholic Spirit Radio, 108 Boykins Place, that's Boykens, in Normal, Illinois, 61761. 108 Boykins Place, Normal, Illinois, 61761. We would love to hear from you and receive your birthday wishes. And if you would like to include a check with a donation for Catholic Spirit Radio, that would be the perfect gift. It takes a lot to keep a program like this on the air, a radio station like this. Catholic Spirit Radio is run completely off of your donations. All of our work here is by volunteers. And as I've said before, the board here at Catholic Spirit Radio think that I'm being paid exactly what I'm worth as a volunteer. So anything you can do to help support us financially would be greatly appreciated. Catholic Spirit Radio, 108 Boykins Place, Normal, Illinois, 61761. So some questions that we have received that I thought were pretty cool. I always love getting questions from teenagers. I think they ask the best questions about our faith because they're in a stage of life where you have that curiosity, where you've started to hear other things about other religions, and you're wondering how that compares and contrasts with your Catholic faith. And as adults, we tend to think, I know it all. And let me tell you, we don't. There's an awful lot about Catholic faith that even your parents or other adults have not learned about or perhaps have forgotten about since they learned about it in their youth. And so we really enjoy getting these questions. And I invite everybody to send them in to our Good News email address. But here we're going to cover a few of them. This one asks, what are your thoughts? Oh, this is a lovely one. I'm going to try and keep from getting people mad. But, you know, there are some things that the truth makes people angry, some people angry. But they also say the truth will set you free. So we're not going to worry about being politically correct. We're going to worry about telling the truth. So what are your thoughts on these pronouns that people call themselves? I personally don't like them, especially since you can get scolded nowadays for not saying them. That's a tough question. I think one of the pronouns they're speaking of that I've read about recently was individuals want to be called they, not he or she, him or her, sir or ma'am, or whatever other pronouns you want to use. They want to be called they. So I'm going to give you the church's view. And then I might throw in my view, just for giggles. So the church's view can be found in the book of Genesis. God made man and woman, him and her. Those are the genders. Now, I understand there are some medical anomalies that doesn't happen very often, where a person is born with the genitalia of both genders. And I'm not going to address that because that's not what the question is asking about. It's about people asking to change language. And as far as the church is concerned, we are born in the likeness of God. That means we are born with equal dignity. And there's nothing undignified about being called by the pronoun of your gender. Him or her, he or she, sir, ma'am, again, whatever titles you want to use, there's nothing undignified about that because you are a child of God and that is how God made us. My personal point of view, calling an individual they is grammatically incorrect. And you can't make me speak improperly. I might do it from time to time accidentally or involuntarily, but don't ask me to purposely call someone something they are not, especially when it's not grammatically correct. I try to get my program producer here to call me Captain Bluebeard, King of all pirates, and he won't do it. Not because I'm not that good looking or don't wield that kind of power. It's just that's not who I honestly am. It's not the truth, and I can't get him to lie. So don't ask me to lie about who you are. If you have a name you want to be called rather than Bob or Frank or Sheila or Sharon, that's fine. I'll call you whatever name you want. But I'm not going to be grammatically correct or go against the teachings of God in order to be politically correct or make a political statement. That's not what I'm called to in my faith. I think that's fair. I think it's honest, and I don't think it sets out to make anybody uncomfortable or to be insultive. But asking me to lie or to be untrue to my faith, that is being insultive, and that is wrong. So I think we need to reach some kind of a compromise here. And a good compromise would be to accept, to use language that reflects God's dignity. And on the opposite side of that, to not be insulted by something that does reflect God's dignity, something that's not offered to be offensive or to be politically aggressive. So I think we all just need a little more love between us. We need to be a little more patient with each other and not worry so much about these things. What happens if you tell a lie? Well, like personally. Well, personally, outside of spiritually, lying often gets you into a lot of trouble. You know what the biggest problem with lying is? Remembering all the lies. Because at some point, you're gonna contradict yourself, and people are going to realize you didn't tell the truth. And a big problem with small lies is that they add up to big lies. And it's a form, we've talked about this before, lying is a form of murder. In the case of you telling a personal lie, you're committing suicide. You're killing your own dignity. You're destroying your own reputation. Why would you do that to yourself? You know, if you don't know, just say, I don't know. If the truth is going to get you in trouble, understand, well, you probably shouldn't have done that act to begin with. You've earned the consequence. Accept the consequence. It's going to be a lot more painful than painless than being caught in the lie. So what happens if you tell a lie personally? You hurt yourself. And quite often you hurt others. But I want to talk about what happens when you lie spiritually. When you lie spiritually, you break a commandment, which is very serious. Commandments set up the relationship between us and God's love. And when you purposely violate a commandment, you're saying that God's love doesn't matter to you, that you're turning your back on God, that you're severing, not just damaging, you sever that relationship with God. That puts you in a state of grave sin. And should you die in a state of grave sin, you cannot enter heaven. Something that is soiled to that degree cannot be in the presence of God. So if you turn your back on God through any of the grave sins, what you're saying is that you accept God's consequences, and you know what they are. There's just one. There's one reward, and there's one consequence. It's heaven or hell. And God doesn't send anyone to hell. You choose hell through your free will, through your actions. If you purposely lie, you have chosen the consequence of lying. And that's an eternal separation from all love. And think about how painful that must be. Can you personally miss a Mass? Yeah, but it's, in most cases, it's going to be a sin. It's either going to be a venial sin or a grave sin. And it all depends on why you miss Mass. You're on your way to Mass and the car breaks down. And you're stuck on a country road waiting for the pickup truck to come. And it doesn't come in time to get you to church. Not your fault, not your intention, not a sin. You choose not to go to Mass in order to do something else. You're basically worshiping a false idol. You're taking something that gives you what that you say gives me greater pleasure than God and putting that before the worship of God, and that is a grave sin. You're sick with COVID, can't leave the house, don't want to spread it to others. Staying away from church is actually a grace. You're showing your kindness to others. But you don't have to be absent from the Mass. You can still watch the Mass as best you can, live stream, or on EWTN, on television, or on the website. So there are ways you can participate. You might not be able to get the Eucharist, but you can still attend the Mass. And there is graces available to you through the Mass, even without the Eucharist. But every effort should be made to be there. because an effort, a purposeful effort not to be there is a grave sin. According to Scripture, what is hell like? You know, the Scripture gives us several passages about that, but the one I go to the most often, because for me it's what explains it the best, Jesus explains on the threshing floor after the grain has been harvested. And now they thresh out the good wheat from the chaff, the grain from the chaff. And the grain, good things happen to the grain. It transforms. The grain is turned into bread, into food. The grain goes to good use. The grain, the good people who are separated go to heaven. They're improved, just like the grain gets improved. But what's on the other side of the threshing floor, the chaff, the useless part that has been separated, gets thrown into a fire and is destroyed. That is my understanding of what hell is like. It's being thrown into this fire. Now, I don't think it's a physical fire. I don't think you're thrown into a molten fire. It's not really what the church teaches. What the church teaches is that hell is a separation from love, all of God's love. How painful must that be to be separated from God forever? That the torment of that separation must be like your entire body burning with anguish over the choices you've made in your life, that you can't help but the poor choices, that you can't help but relive over and over, the choices where you turned your back from God. God never leaves you, but you walk away from God through sin. And so what is hell like? It's this perpetual pain and torment of being separated from God's love. And no one wants that for you. God doesn't want that for you. Those in the world who love you don't want that for you. That's why the definition of love is wanting what's best for the person. And what is best for each of us is an eternity with God in heaven. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope you enjoy Good News. We're here every Saturday and Sunday on Catholic Spirit Radio, 8 p.m. And you can also catch our shows recorded on the podcast at CatholicSpiritRadio.org. God bless. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@CatholicSpiritRadio.com. That's goodnews@CatholicSpiritRadio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.